I'm Cheryl Corley, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News in Chicago. Michelle Martin is away. Coming up, we'll talk about HIV/AIDS in the Latino community. The infection rate has increased so dramatically that health officials fear it's approaching crisis level. But first, Democratic presumptive presidential nominee Barack Obama is fresh from his tour of Europe and the Middle East. His return to the U.S. put him on another stage before a diverse audience. The Illinois senator spoke yesterday to the Unity Convention of Journalists of Color meeting here in his hometown of Chicago. Here's a bit of what he told the nearly 2,000 Asian American, Hispanic, African American, and Native American journalists who came to hear him speak.
The world is waiting for the United States to reengage. When you think about the big problems that we face here at home, they are connected to the problems we face abroad. So one of the key insights that I come away with is it is very difficult for us to meet these 21st century challenges unless we've got more effective partnerships with our allies and other countries overseas. And I think they are ready for it. And it offers the next president an enormous opportunity. But we're going to have to take action now.
And here to tell us more about what Obama had to say, our journalist who questioned him, Brian Bull, a member of the Native American Journalist Association, Diane Solis of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, and Leonard Pitch Jr. of the National Association of Black Journalists. Well, let me start by saying that Obama's Republican rival, John McCain, was invited but declined the event. And I just wanted to go around the table, Diane, Brian, Leonard. Was it a mistake for Senator McCain to not attend? Leonard, why don't we begin with you?
Well, I'm still not clear on, you know, what his specific reasons were for not attending. I'm told that he had scheduling conflicts, which mm-hmm. is sort of an all-purpose reason for not, you know, doing something in the political arena. Some have interpreted that as him being, you know, unwilling to face an African-American audience. I don't interpret it that way because I know that he has faced African-American and, I should say, you know, other audiences of color mm-hmm. in the past. But I do think that he missed an opportunity to explain himself and explain his policies and how they will impact communities of color to journalists of color. I think he missed a golden opportunity. I wish he'd been there.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about Obama's appearance. This was a 30-minute press conference of sorts. The question and answer session began with a discussion about his week-long trip abroad. And the second half of the forum allowed one member of each Unity journalist organization to ask Obama a question, and that was all of you. And I'd like each of you to give me your impressions about his talk at the Unity Convention. Leonard, let me start again with you.
I'm feeling like Hillary Clinton. I thought that overall his it was an impressive enough appearance. He seemed very feisty mm-hmm. in rebutting the the accusations that have been made that he's sort of running for president of the world, as I think someone has put it. He was very up and and on his toes in rebutting that. As I recall, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but I recall him saying something to the effect of he was not going to apologize for having done it. He'd done the same thing that McCain and other candidates have done. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's not going to apologize for having done it better. So clearly, he doesn't feel any second thoughts or any need to apologize for having done this tour of the Middle East and of Europe and of being pretty well received there.
Mm-hmm. Brian, same question to you. Just your impressions about his appearance.
First public appearance coming right on the heels of a very highly publicized, successful trip to the Middle East and Europe. The fact that he would make the time to talk to journalists of color right after such a long journey. And then also, of course, to have the fact that McCain was absent there. I think he was able to really, work the audience to see that he is making time for them. He's focused on world issues. He's focused on domestic issues, but he certainly is not adverse to popping in and speaking to the audience. Was this also in regards to the exact questions that we asked, Cheryl?
No, because I'm going to ask you about that in just a minute. Okay. So why don't I switch over to Diane now, who's joining us, and just asking Diane about your impression about Senator Obama's appearance at the convention.
I think he performed very well and articulated quite succinctly and cogently his accomplishments abroad and the need for, as he put it, the U.S. to project on the world stage a sense of humility and that the U.S. is listening to other people's interest. And then he brought it back home, saying that today he would be talking to key economic advisors about a second economic stimulus package mm-hmm. and how to deal with high energy prices.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Cheryl Corley. I'm speaking with Diane Solis, Leonard Pitch Jr., and Brian Bull about Senator Barack Obama's address to the Unity Convention for Journalists of Color on Sunday. Brian, I want to talk. I want to play a little clip. I don't want to have you repeat your question. I want to play the clip that the question that you asked. Here we go.
Last February, the Australian Prime Minister apologized for the past treatment of its Indigenous people. Last month, the Canadian Prime Minister also issued an apology for its treatment of its Indigenous population. Would your administration issue an apology to Native Americans for the atrocities they've endured for the past 500 years?
So questions to the senator that we normally don't hear on the campaign trail. I want to ask you, Brian, why you decided this was the question that you would ask.
Well, just a little inside shop talk here, Cheryl. Every one of the minority journalist organizations was given one question to ask. And so this question was done in consultation, I'm guessing through a number of its members and the board, and was presented to me to review from, I believe, two or three other questions. And in the final day leading up to the event, it was decided upon that this was perhaps the most provocative and broad of the questions that could appeal to the Native American audience.
Mm-hmm.
It is, a major part of American history that colonization, genocide, wars, disease have been real elements of Native American history. And then to see other prominent world leaders, again, such as Canada and Australia's prime ministers, reaching out to these affected communities to acknowledge this history, I think has been on the forefront of many tribal leaders' minds, that they want to have an administration that is aware of that, sympathetic, and willing to make amends, even just in the form of an apology. And so when that question was presented, there were a number of people in the audience who cheered, and other times I got the sense that there were people who were almost as astounded as Barack Obama, because that is a question that he has not yet been asked.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see the wheels turning in his mind as he kind of reached and kind of tried to grasp what was the most constructive answer.
Mm-hmm.
His answer in itself was not very committal, but at the same time opened the door in towards a constructive resolution. I think many.
So he didn't actually say that. He didn't actually say that. You know, he would follow the steps of the prime ministers of Canada and Australia and issue an apology.
No, he simply said that he would consult with Native leaders and that the tribal communities are probably more focused upon pressing needs such as housing, education, and health care.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think about that type of response from him?
Well, it's interesting because he comes down from a long, week-long trip to the Middle East and Europe where he's shaking hands with heads of states and, the words presumptuous and audacious have been applied to that tour, that he's already acting like he's president. So perhaps in some ways to say that, I'll get back to you on that, we're going to talk about that, just seemed like kind of a contrast to what we've seen in the week leading up to that statement.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I would think Native American leaders would anticipate and expect to be fully engaged in discussions before such an apology was declared.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to be watching how this is going to play out in Indian country to see if they feel that he's deferring and playing it off or if that he took the constructive path, which again leads the door wide open. I imagine that'll placate a lot of them for now, but if they do want that apology, they're going to be knocking on his door again if he becomes president.
All right. Well, Leonard, tell us what your question to Senator Obama was and how you chose your question.
Well, the question that I asked was whether or not, the senator has been required or asked to deny the fact or to deny that he is Muslim on any number of occasions. And the question I asked him was one that I actually chose and presented to the Unity the organizers, and they approved. The question that I asked was essentially this: in denying that you are Muslim, you see, without challenging the implicit assumption that there's something wrong with being a Muslim, are you actually doing harm to the cause of Muslims? I also asked, if he would be visiting any mosques on his campaign travels, as he has repeatedly visited synagogues and churches.
Let me stop you there, because I want to play Senator Obama's response to your question. Here's what he had to say.
This is a classic example of a no-win situation, right? So I have repeatedly, on various occasions, said I am not a Muslim, but this whole strategy of suggesting that I am is indicative of anti-Muslim sentiment that we have to fight against. So maybe you haven't seen those quotes, but they're out there, and I've said them on more than one occasion. I just don't like the idea of somebody falsely identifying my religion. I suspect that you wouldn't appreciate that either.
And that, of course, Senator Barack Obama appearing at the Unity Convention. We're going to pause now, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion about Barack Obama's appearance at the Unity Convention with the three journalists who questioned him. Remember, with Tell Me More, the conversation never ends. You heard from our group of journalists, but we want to know what's on your mind. What question would you have asked Barack Obama at yesterday's Chicago Forum if you had the floor? What issues or concerns are at the top of your list? Healthcare, the economy, his stance perhaps on foreign policy? And what more would you be interested in knowing about him personally as a candidate? More about his faith? Well, to tell us more about what you think, call our comment line at 202-842-3522. Again, that's area code 202-842-3522. And to read what other listeners are thinking, go to our blog at npr.org/tellmemore. I'm Cheryl Corley. This is Tell Me More from NPR News in Chicago. Michelle Martin is away. Just ahead, we'll examine a publication that brings race, culture, and economics together. The executive editor of Rise Up is with us. But right now, we're going to continue with our conversation with the journalist who questioned Senator Barack Obama during his appearance at the Unity Convention of Journalists of Color. They are Brian Bull, a member of the Native American Journalist Association, Diane Solis of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, and Leonard Pitts Jr. of the National Association of Black Journalists. Well, Leonard, we ended our segment just a few moments ago with a clip from Barack Obama, where he was talking about on the occasions when he's denied being a Muslim, letting people know he is a Christian. It was your question to him. It sounded like you touched a nerve, so I was wondering what you thought of his response.
I got the impression that I touched a nerve as well, and I wasn't really pleased with his response. What I would like, just as a social critic and observer, what I would like to see Senator Obama do the next time he is asked, particularly in a high-profile situation, as he was with Brian Williams of NBC News some months back, are you, Senator, a Muslim? I would like him to turn the question around and say, what if I were?
Mm-hmm.
Is this not still America? And what does my choice of religion or the faith that I profess have to do with my ability to be president? What concerns me is that I think of a lot of us are sort of letting the parameters of this question be defined by the extremist fringe, which has decided in the wake of the September 11th attacks and then the invasion of Iraq and of Afghanistan that Muslim in whatever permutation, including Muslims, American Muslims who have been in this country for decades and beyond, are the enemy. And I don't think that he or we can can claim any moral high ground in allowing the question to be framed by those people. I simply reject that, and I wish that he would forcefully.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you feel that I know you're a journalist and not a person who helps with his campaign, but do you feel that his campaign folks have been telling him, you know, stay away from this, step back from this? Is that the impression that you get?
That's definitely the impression that I get, particularly when you look at the case of the two Muslim women in headscarves who were in Muslim headgear who mm-hmm. were asked to leave a spot within camera view at an Obama rally. They were seated behind him, and they were denied their seats. I think that's definitely the advice that he's getting. I'm not a political, you know, guru by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, I will still have the audacity to offer this opinion. I think that he should go to the mosque and say, you know, what's wrong with this? Mm-hmm. You know, why does this scare you? Because the thing that we seem to sometimes forget is that the reason that Barack Obama has become a quote-unquote rock star in politics is because of this perceived unwillingness to play the game, quote-unquote, as it has always been played. Well, my contention is that with regard to the Muslim question, at least, he is playing the game pretty much to status quo. He's playing the game pretty much as any ordinary candidate would have played it. I think that is not in keeping with what we have been led to believe that he is and he is about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, Diane, I'd like to bring you into this conversation. We've been asking about the questions that each of you posed to Senator Barack Obama at yesterday's forum. And your question was about immigration. Tell us your question, and then we'll play a portion of Senator Obama's response.
Okay, I asked him percentage-wise. The U.S. has nearly as many immigrants as it did about a century ago when nearly 15% of the population was foreign-born. And my question was, is immigration, should we have more immigration or less immigration, and where should people come from?
Mm-hmm.
And he responded that...
Well,
that
hold on. I'll play
it
a little bit of it.
Okay.
Here we go. Here's what he had to say.
We are a nation of immigrants, and we are a nation of laws. And the problem that I see is not the number of immigrants that are coming in, because we actually are advantaged in the United States by the number of immigrants coming in. The problem is when we've got a legal immigration system running parallel with an illegal immigration system. And I have said that I'm strongly in favor of a comprehensive immigration approach.
So, Diane, same question to you that I've asked the other journalists. What did you make of this response?
I thought it was good, but it provoked many more questions. He did use it to address what he described as a need for fairness in immigration policies and noted that immigrants from Haiti are treated differently from immigrants from other similarly situated countries.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us took that as a reference to Cuba,
mm-hmm.
where people benefit from a wet foot, dry foot policy within U.S. immigration law. And those who land in the U.S. on dry land and are Cuban get a chance to come in legally. Those who are caught at sea, presumably with wet feet, are thrown back to Cuban. And Haitians risk their lives to come to the U.S. in similar ways, and in the seas off Florida, they face the same sort of dangers, yet they don't benefit from such policy.
Mm-hmm. Well,
nor do Mexicans or Central Americans.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been asking each of you about your questions, and I was wondering how this particular question made it to your short list, because you each only had one chance to get one question out.
We're in the middle of the biggest crackdown on illegal immigrants in decades. So it was pretty obvious to me and to members who were surveyed that the question should focus on immigration. And thus, we had a number of points we wanted to raise. Among them were whether or not the crackdown would continue, whether it would be cut back, whether it would be accelerated, because we all know that he supports comprehensive immigration reform. Obviously, that would take some cajoling of Congress. In the interim, what would happen? Would the crackdown continue? But we also wanted a clearer statement on what he thinks about immigration in general and whether it's a net plus or or a negative.
Well, if you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Diane Solis, Leonard Pitch Jr., and Brian Bull about Senator Barack Obama's address to the Unity Convention of Journalists of Color Saturday. I want to talk about some of behind-the-scene conversations that journalists were having prior to Senator Obama's forum, which was actually on Sunday. There were a panel of journalists from the various journalist groups fielding questions from journalists in the audience. And there was this question about whether or not journalists should give either standing ovations to presidential candidates, if there should be, you know, clapping if a candidate says something a journalist agrees with, and whether or not this should be behavior that should be discouraged, because we are, of course, unbiased and objective, of course. So I was wondering where all three of you stand on the issue. And Leonard, since I've been asking you first to go first all the time, let's begin with you.
Well, as I told an AP reporter a couple of days ago, I think that objectivity is a little bit of a misnomer. Objectivity implies a complete lack of or complete absence of judgment, and the news business is by definition involved with judgment. You know, the stories that we choose to cover, the play that we choose to give those stories, the way that we choose to frame those stories all speak to judgment. So I don't think objectivity is, you know, is what we are looking for as journalists. I think fairness is what we are seeking to have in our coverage. And in terms of the Obama situation, what you're dealing with is something that is unprecedented. You're dealing with a modern-day Jackie Robinson story. And I would dare say that, you know, whatever few African Americans there were that were in the press or in the media at the time that Jackie Robinson appeared, probably felt more than a small swelling of pride, you know, when he did what he did. So I think it's a little bit unrealistic to not or to expect that there's not going to be some added pride or some added sense of achievement when a Barack Obama does what he's doing on the world stage.
Okay. All right. Let me switch real quickly because we're running out of time. Diane, what do you think? Clap or no clap?
I think we shouldn't clap. I think we should conduct ourselves as professionally as possible. Mm-hmm. I did note that there were a number of people in the audience who did clap, but they were PR people from the corporations that came to Unity to pitch and position their products and services. There were also people from Obama's campaign, and there were people from his family. The way I know this is because the chairs were marked for this corporation, or I was sitting in front of those people. And, you know, and I took a little survey. And before Obama came on and the show started, there was another show with Joe Davidson of the Washington Post, and this issue came up.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to speed you along just real quickly because we're running out of time. But you're saying that the audience was not composed of all journalists, that there were other folks in the audience as well, which might
That is what I'm saying, yes.
Okay. Brian, what do you think?
I think a lot of people were very sensitive to this because of the fact that the 2004 Unity Convention, there are several people in the audience who booed President Bush and gave John Kerry a standing ovation. Mm-hmm. I think it's proper etiquette to simply applaud when an official or dignitary enters the room, but I think the threshold is crossed when you show up wearing Obama T-shirts, for instance, as a number of people were in the row behind me. One woman even stood up and did this crazy little cry going, la, 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 like that.
Was she a journalist, do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I want to say that she may have been an exhibition booth person or someone, but you know, the decorum was something that I think a lot of organizers were really concerned about because, again, you have that charge that the bias, the media loves Obama,
all right,
and the liberal bias comes into play too.
Brian Bull of the Native American Journalists Association joined us from Wisconsin Public Radio. Diane Solis of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists joined us from Dallas, Texas. And Leonard Pitch Jr. of the National Association of Black Journalists joined us by phone. Thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank
you. Welcome.